Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to look today at part 6 of the series, Navigate, How to Successfully Journey Through Life and These Times, taking various aspects of navigation personally, financially, relationally, socially, systemically. Today, we're going to touch on the systemic part in a message. We'll call this message, Navigating Systems of God and Men. Say, Navigating Systems of God and Men. And again, this is a lot to share today. I'm going to do this in two parts. I want to introduce it today and then give you some solutions on next time. Let's again review the three main points we've been saying every time we teach this series, that navigation requires fixed points or coordinates. Well, for us, we're navigating through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8 says, number two, the Word of God. God's Word is a fixed point. You can trust God's Word. And then three, objective truth and facts or natural science. This is also reliable for us in this time. All right, two scriptures I want to give you today to begin. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Matthew chapter 6, both on the screen. The writer said in, Solomon wrote this in 7, Ecclesiastes 7:29, see, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. It's true, isn't it? Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, or I like to say in earth, in us, as it is in heaven. Now, navigating systems of God and man is essential for living a productive life. We are all part of something bigger than ourselves. The whole concept of navigating is based on dealing with forces and factors that we cannot control. All of us who are of age, we drive. And the whole idea of driving, you know, think about this. We who are experienced drivers have the illusion that we're controlling the power of a car, that we're controlling the traffic and environments and conditions related to driving. That's an illusion, because we naturally don't have any power over vehicles and traffic. We've learned to navigate a vehicle. We've learned all the controls of a vehicle. We learn how to deal with traffic and so forth. Now, we know this is true because if you've ever taught somebody how to drive, you know that we weren't born with the ability to drive. We don't have power over the car. We learn how to navigate the car, how to use it. And I remember taking one of my children out, I forget which one. I didn't teach them all, they had driver's training, but went out. I remember when it snowed, I purposed when it snowed to take one of them out to drive in the snow. Because, you know, driving in the snow is a skill you must have up here. Now, folk down there in Atlanta and all that, they don't know what to do. You know, an inch of snow, shut the whole city down for an inch of snow. And of course, Chicago, a different level, okay? You know, I mean, they shut down over, nothing shut them down. They just go. They just go, whatever happens. But I remember, though, went out to an empty parking lot. And the instruction was, I want you to drive, go about 20 miles an hour. Then I want you to turn right, like you normally do if you're driving on a dry street. Made the right turn, and the car began to spin. And that's what I wanted to happen, because I wanted he or she, whoever it was, my child to know, you don't have control of this. That's an illusion. What you need to have is skill. And so, you learn how to deal with a spin. You know, you turn into, you know, direction of the spin. We know this now. So we as experienced drivers take a lot for granted. I remember, you know, cars nowadays have something called anti-lock brakes. So anti-lock brakes, what they do is when you're stopping on a slick surface and you press the brake, what the system is doing actually is pulsating the brakes. It's like engaging, disengaging, so the wheels keep rolling in a controlled manner and you slow down and stop. But back in the day, you were the anti-lock brakes. Because if you jammed the brakes, you start sliding. The wheels will lock up and you start sliding. So you were trained to pump the brakes. Now, hey, thank God for an anti-lock brake. Y'all are, hey, let's give a prayer. Look, say, Lord, thank you for anti-lock brakes. Because that has saved you. You don't even know how it saved you. My point is this. We have the illusion of controlling vehicles and in conditions where we're driving. I want to suggest to you what we're doing is we're actually navigating and learning skills and techniques. And I want to use that as an example of life, how we don't control much. We don't control much at all. And what we have done is learn to navigate and deal with and handle systems to which we're connected. Make sense? All right. So we're not aware of many of the systems within which we operate. Maybe aware of it. When we use the word systemic, it is mostly understood within the framework of systemic racism. Now, look up the word systemic, and almost all the hits will be systemic racism. But that's not my topic today. Systemic is involved in a lot of areas of your life and not always bad. Systems can be good. Finance and investments and education. I mean, there are a lot of systems that really benefit us. But on the point, since I mentioned that issue of systemic racism, let me share with you a video. This is by Dr. Tony Evans, about 5 minutes. And he did a real good job explaining this issue and this problem of racism as systemic. And watch this and be educated.
In light of all that's taking place today, there are so many questions. The division, the conflict, the misunderstanding. I thought I would take a moment to address one of the subjects that regularly comes up that people are confused about, and that is, what is systemic racism? Well, first of all, let's define racism. Racism is the conscious or unconscious belief in the superiority of one's race over and against another race. That feeling, that belief, gets manifested in the use of power or influence or resources or even communication that seeks to reject or marginalize or even oppress a person of another color, race, or ethnicity. When we talk about systemic racism, we're talking about the presence of racism, as we've just defined it, being embedded into the structures of society, whether those structures are political or economic or legal or medical, or related to housing or employment. It is where it has become part of the policies or procedures of a way a particular entity operates. Of course, we're all aware of the evil system of slavery. That was a legal system that oppressed a group of people because of the color of their skin. But that got embedded into other structures in society. For example, criminal justice. There was a practice called peonage or debt servitude, where after the 13th Amendment was established, granting freedom to slaves, there was a clause that said, unless you're a criminal. So what was done was the criminalizing of men for the most minor of infractions so that the 13th Amendment could not be applied. And they would be held in servitude, oftentimes way beyond what they were arrested for. And many times they were arrested for little or nothing in order to keep them from being able to claim the freedom that was being granted by the 13th Amendment. It showed up in the way people were denied employment or educational opportunities or being able to access the goods and services during Jim Crow segregation. It showed up in churches that were unwilling to accept people of a different race because of the color of their skin. Or I can speak personally when I was told, when I was trying to enter into the media ministry, that a black speaker would offend too many of our white listeners. There was a system at work that was denying equal opportunity and equal access. Those systems, while a person may not be personally a racist, can be supported by supporting the structure that is that way. And unless you're not only not a racist, but that you speak against racism where it shows up, it can continue to be part of the fiber of a particular way a particular structure operates. When you understand that in a race, some people, if they are allowed to get started quicker and faster, or start at a starting point much ahead of where another group is, that the group behind has to play catch up. And at least being empathetic and sympathetic, that has been a historical reality, not only in people's personal views, but in the structures that people have believed in, supported, affirmed, then you understand why there is a catch-up that needs to take place. And when you understand that, appreciate that, and grasp that, it does give you a different sensitivity to the reality. Now, of course, that sensitivity must be handled in a, not only in an empathetic way, but a responsible way. But at the same time, just knowing that people have been held back, people of color have been held back by structures, not just by individuals, helps you to understand why certain elements within our society need to be corrected so that equal opportunity is granted, the granting that God gives all men and the granting that the United States offers to all of us.
My brief presentation on systemic racism. So I'm using the term systemic today in other ways, so we've explained that. What is a system? A system affects the whole instead of just parts, which is why we call it systemic. Now, systematic is different. Systematic is doing something in steps, right? So systemic is different than systematic. Systems are embedded within and spread throughout and affecting a group, system, body, economy, market, or community. So the systems are embedded. An example of that with racism is a good example, but we see the same in all of life, and those aren't always bad systems either. All right, systems are fundamental, social, economic, religious, and political practice. So we see systems all across the board in our lives. Now, religion example would be Catholicism. Catholicism is an example of a whole religious system. And they even have their own country. You know, the Vatican in Rome is a country. It's not a city or a place in Rome. It's a whole country inside of Rome. So you know you got a system when you got a country. And you got your own everything, diplomats and police and everything up in there. And I've been to the Vatican. It's an amazing place to see. I couldn't wait to get out of it, okay? Get me out of here. It's just too much. Too much. I mean, it's the architecture, the art is amazing. But knowing what went on up in there, and our tour, I was to have an activist tour guide. He wasn't polishing them up at all. He's like, this Pope did that, that Pope did this, this Pope was a daddy, was a baby daddy, and all that. Like, oh my goodness. But he was telling the truth. Because the system allowed that religious organization to do all type of things with almost really no accountability then. Now, they're better now, but I'm talking about Catholicism as it was founded back then. So there was a man named Martin Luther, a preacher who lived in the 1500s, who had been a Catholic, but he saw the corruption in the system of Catholicism. And in particular, they had something that they called indulgences, which meant if you sinned and wanted absolution of your sin, you go find a priest and you pay them some money, and the priest will pray over you and forgive you your sins, which is obviously corrupt and unscriptural. So Martin Luther, resisted that. And here's an example of how we deal with bad systems. You deal with a bad system by first recognizing it and then resisting it with whatever resources you have, okay? Well, he was a theologian as well. He wrote something called Disputation on the Power and Efficacy of Indulgences, which became known as 95 Theses. He basically wrote this long document of 95 points and documented why he believed scripturally and practically and realistically why, you know, that those indulgences in the Catholic system at the time was corrupt. Now, the legend says that in October 31st, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed a copy of those 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. And that was his way of showing his disagreement with the system. And what he actually did by that act, next slide shows that. So in the 1500s, Martin Luther's act of challenging a powerful system led to the Protestant Reformation. He challenged a whole system and it led to change. Amen. Now, the word Protestant is from the word protest. So there are people who protested the Roman Catholic system. That's why they're called Protestants. And so that led to Reformation and revivals and things happened. And so churches like ours came out of that. Now, see, the church in the book of Acts that began, it began as a Catholic, you know, Roman Catholic church. So it devolved into that. Now, listen, there was always the remnant of God's people. Everything wasn't Roman Catholic, but they came to the point of dominating most of Europe. So the point is, systems can be changed, but they must first be challenged. See, I must first challenge any system before it can be changed. Now, the Bible does not use the word system in the way we're talking about it today. However, God has ordered creation according to a system, and we call it the kingdom of God. So the word system is not a biblical word, but we have the concept in the Bible. And again, a system, let me go back to that. I'll read it to you, that definition again we gave you earlier. A system affects the whole instead of the parts, all right? Systems are embedded within and spread throughout and affecting a group, body, economy, market, or community. So the system is something that it touches everybody and in some way or another. Now, let me give you the scripture, Psalm 103, verse 19, example of God's system called the kingdom. It says, Psalm 119, Psalm 103, verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." It's good, isn't it? So we're part of a system, God's system. And we're also part of the system of our nation. We're citizens. We pledge allegiance to the flag. So we're Americans, right? And we respect that. That's a system. We're engaged. Most of us, well, all of us, hopefully, we vote and we engage, because in our democracy, in our country, we get to choose our leaders. And so we go about that process, that system for that. And it's worked well. Now, people try to say, well, we ought to abolish this, abolish that. Well, you know, yeah, if you think it's bad, try to. That's how this works. Now, I want you to understand, too, that in this life, the systems that we're navigating, again, they're not all bad. For example, education system. In our country, we tend to have the following type of paradigm. We have pre-education, elementary education, right? We have secondary or high school. We have undergraduate and graduate. Other countries do it somewhat differently. And so we acknowledge that for us, this system works by and large. Well, it works really well for us. And so it gives us a chance to assess every student and design curriculum for them, age appropriate, right, according to their level. And so we've all come up through school. All of us have come through school. Everybody got an education. Whether you got a good one or a bad one, you got one, okay? But the fact is, it's a good system. Although we see in the system, going back to Dr. Evans, that we do know that there have been seasons in time where education system was skewed against people of color. Amen. Right? We've worked on that and corrected lots of that, overcorrected, I think, for some of it. But the point is, we are part of a system that helped us to be educated. We can read, we can compute, we can write. We were educated. Thank God for education. I mean, in my times in Africa, it always blessed me to see every morning children going off to school. And think about Africa, there's no free education. Everybody got to pay for it. So public, it's inexpensive, it doesn't cost a lot, but everybody has to pay something. And I see kids going to school. I've stood in classrooms with just mud walls and dirt floors. And that was this classroom. And students are there learning, you know, because I tell you what, an educator can teach anywhere. An educator can teach anywhere. They can teach in a high-tech room or in a mud hut. They can get it done. Just give me a few books and give me your attention. You're going to learn something up in here. So education is a system. We know that. Now, one thing I'll say, I'll just introduce this and hit more on it later. Now, when it says God's established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all, that does not mean that God controls every outcome. He put frameworks in place that we have to manage and navigate. And so if you go up on this building roof right now and jump off, the system of God's natural law, natural science, gravity, it's going to hurt you or kill you. God won't save you if you jump off this building. So then let's not think that God rules over all. God's in control. People are like, God's in control. Yeah, yes, yes. We know this in the big scale. But if you act a fool, he can't control that. God's in control of foolishness. So get your mind around that. There was a time when people said, I don't understand why people in the world are starving. Why won't God stop that? Why won't you stop it? It's for us to do. There's enough food in this world. Transportation system, we can feed everybody every day. Don't say God's in control. He's in control of the frameworks. But how you navigate within the framework is up to you. That's why we said oftentimes in this whole COVID season, many have gotten through, some have not gotten through. It wasn't because of God, it's because they didn't navigate well. didn't take the science seriously. So we understand the power of systems, okay? Now, in a system, you know, let me say, there are small-scale systems, you know, things like your computer. It has its own little system in it, you know, things like that. I'm talking about big systems that affect, I mean, systemic stuff affects everybody, whereas there are smaller things that affect just you, all right? How your car works, how your computer works, those are systems as well. I'm talking about those systemic issues, bigger things. All right, next scripture, Romans 14:7. Again, looking at God's kingdom as our system. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." So we're dealing with all the systems in the world, the negative stuff, but yet because we're in and a part of and embodied by God's kingdom, he says, then we can live in righteousness, peace, and joy. Say righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's your advantage, believers, in this crazy world. And said, he who serves Christ, watch this, in these things, is acceptable to God and approved by men. See, God can work with people on your behalf. Remember, John H. Johnson, the publisher in Chicago many years ago, was trying to get a loan to start a magazine way back in the early part of the 20th century, and went to a banker, a white bank, and said, "Will you loan us some money?" He said, we don't give loans to the N-word. Johnson said, "Well, you know somebody that does?" He navigated. He said, "Yes, I do." And so he got the name of another white banker who gave him money, who loaned him some money. See? It's good, isn't it? I love that story. Because you think, if somebody is not for you, find somebody who can say yes. That's how I deal and navigate all the time with business things for the church. I'm going to find somebody who's going to say yes. Because sometimes folks say no to try to discourage you and make you stop. Don't fall for that trick of the devil. So then we're in the kingdom. So we have some kingdom advantages. And so we're in a system that is larger than the world's systems. But yet we respect the world's systems. And we don't act like you can't be over spiritual. You can't spiritualize your way out of dealing with the world's systems. Right? Folks try to spiritualize the way out of COVID and talk about, take communion. And that communion is your dose. That's your vaccine, is communion. Now, that's silly. That's stupid. But that's out there. And that won't, because God knows it's stupid. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand the system we're in God's kingdom, even though it helps us and overcomes a lot, we're still subject to the systems of this world. And again, all the systems aren't bad. That's why, I advise people, young people going into business and so forth, who love God and all that, business don't run on Bible principles in the terms of, I'll say it differently. Business doesn't run on scripture. Now, certainly, Bible principles are a part of business, but you need to learn how business operate. You can't find a scripture to understand how to do some transactions and deal with situations and employee things. And business, that's why there are whole business schools and degrees in business, because business is a system that you need to understand how it works, because you're not going to change it. Find your way to navigate in it. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right. All right, let's go back to the book of Genesis, back to the beginning. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8, first of all. I want you to see how systems were present in the very beginning. And I want to first begin at chapter 8. We'll go back to chapter 1 in a moment. But Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 says this. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. That sounds like a system, doesn't it? Now, the whole world doesn't experience cold like we experience cold. But, you know, in temperate zones, they do experience dramatic changes. The point, though, is while the earth remains, this was back in the beginning, God said this. He knew, we're telling people that the earth is designed this way, the seed time and harvest. You don't just plant seed and get a harvest tomorrow. The seed time and harvest. Then he said, cold and heat, winter, summer, day and night shall not cease. Simple statement of a system in place. So we're a part of an earth that itself is a system. We know this. Now, Genesis chapter 2. Go back there, scripture on the screen. So God created everything in Genesis 1, and then Genesis 2 gives some detail. Watch this, verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the garden. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. We always say here, God gave man a job in the very beginning. Right? So he gave him a garden and gave him a job. So men need to work. Amen, somebody. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Right? All this is yours. You can have it all. And the garden, listen, it wasn't some little backyard garden. We don't know how big it was, but it wasn't small. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Don't mess with this one. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, God didn't say you shall die. You shall surely die. Just in case he wasn't clear. You know what I'm saying? And so watch what happened. Now, this was a system, all part of the system, where he had provision there and he could enjoy it and live off of it. And just it was a great place. Only thing was, just this part over here, leave this alone. Don't mess with this over here. That's all it was, simple instruction. So then, in chapter 3, we know God, later on, he brought Eve to Adam out of his side, not out of his back, from his side. He brought Eve, and they were compatible, male and female. Man is male and female. And so, chapter 3, something happened. Now, Adam was supposed to guard and protect his wife, cover her and be partners and protect her. Watch what happened. Genesis 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So God, you know, there was a serpent in there. People say it was a snake. No, it was a serpent. I don't know what it looked like, but it was something evil. It was really a manifestation of the devil, if you will. And God, you know, God lets the devil come around. Right? Because you got the power to deal with it. You have, listen, say I have the power to navigate the devil. Yeah. But he's going to be somewhere around. How you handle him with the power of God, that's the key to life, part of it. You don't get to live a life with no problems coming up. Ain't no problem-free life. You don't just run through here. And nothing gonna happen. Is that the way life works? But you do have Jesus. You got more than you need if you choose to walk with Jesus. Watch this. So then the serpent was subtle. And then he says, and he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, what God actually says was, you can freely eat. He misquoted even what God said. But, you know, he was trying to, you know, come on. You know how the devil and weird people come up like agreeing with you on something to draw you into it or trying to affirm. No, woman said to the serpent, she said, we may eat, we may freely eat, God said, she should have said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So she, you know, she's tracking okay, look like she's just repeating back what she heard. Then it says this, verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. It's how crazy the devil is. And this is why, this is where the system broke down for Adam and Eve. So God gave them, he put them into a system and gave them instruction how to navigate the system. All of this is yours. One thing you leave alone, just one thing. And that was the thing that the devil came up and tempted, right? Temptation is about pulling you out of the system. Say, temptation. Tries to pull me out of God's system. And so he went so far as to say, you will not die. Verse 6, so the woman, when she saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate. Now listen, y'all, the things that are outside of God's will for you, the things the devil brings to you, oh, they cute. He cute. She's cute. It's cute. He don't bring ugly stuff. He don't bring ugly stuff. He brings stuff packaged up like it's going to be good for you. So she thought, she said, man, this tree do look good, don't it? But the fact is, they all look good. But because of the deception, because of the attack of the enemy, if you will, then she went for the thing that God said, don't take of it. Well, watch this. So she took of his fruit, ate. Bad Eve. No, stop now. Hold on. Watch this. And she gave to her husband with her. And he ate. So this whole time, Adam is standing right there. Let the serpent come in and talk to his wife. Didn't protect her, didn't cover her. That's why we say it's Adam's sin. He was responsible. When the conversation started, it should have went something like, who's that? It's a serpent. What are you talking about? We don't talk to serpents up in here. You're talking to a serpent. We talk to people. Well, I had two people, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she, I don't know, you know. Just me and you know what I'm saying? Talk to me. Sometimes we ain't good enough, husbands. You know, anyway, all right. Move right along. We ain't enough sometimes. Anyway, we are enough. Amen. But, so here's the point. This is where the system for them broke down. Yeah. And so that, you know, would happen from there, and you know, sin, the sin nature was then birthed, you know, it came in through them, and children born have sin nature, and all of us, you know, born sinners need to be reborn through Christ. Amen. Right? Thank God in Jesus, and God saw all this coming and made provision. Soon after this happened, God made provision for it. But I raise this issue with us today to highlight and make real to us that there are things bigger than us. We're a part of systems in this world. But the system of God's kingdom is designed to help us and train us and give us grace to navigate through. So let me share this with you. Two final points here. We'll again come back and finish this up later. common systems in our lives: education, finance, law and justice, politics, religion, family legacy, and there's more. These are all systems that are bigger than us, that affect us in good ways, mostly. And again, there's racism, which is systemic as well, and that's evil. We know about that. But I want you to get your mind around the fact that we're a part of systems. So as good as you become, can become, at navigating systems, the more productive life you can live. You know, we as believers, we praise God, we shout, and we do great things. We love God, and we worship Him. But we're also really good educators, too. And we're good lawyers and doctors. Come on, somebody. Amen. And technicians of all sorts. We're good at everything we do because of Jesus. Amen. And we navigate systems. And we, you know, nobody can pull a wool over our eyes. You know, there's a term, I was touched this and hit it next time. There's a term out there, the term is woke. And now you got people who are against. I saw there was a conference in Texas in June, a conference against wokeism. Wokeism. They think woke isn't is some kind of evil thing. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on, y'all. You know, but I thought, wow. Hey, y'all, woke just mean aware. What y'all tripping for? It just means aware. I'm aware. But when you're woke, what it means really is that you become aware of a system. You're aware of a system and how it's working. And think about it. When people know you're aware of it and you won't be subject to it if it's a bad system, then they got a problem with you now. Because you've seen the game. You know what I'm saying? You're not playing the game no more. So so you know, as African Americans, we're more keen to that because a lot of things we don't control a lot in this world. We don't control a whole lot around here. We're a part of everybody else's system. We only have one system we control, and that's our churches. We do control our churches. The black church, quote unquote, is our system. But you got people trying to break that down, see? The one thing we got, you know what I'm saying, that they got the, you know, and barbershops. We got barbershops and churches. We got those two. and beauty shops. We don't have the hair care products. We don't have that anymore, the relaxers and stuff. The Asians got that. All we got is churches. No, I'm not being facetious. But the point, though, is we do have power through God's kingdom to change systems. And we've been successful in changing some systems. I remember a couple years ago, Dr. Kelly and the group were dealing with some legislation. They were trying to criminalize, I forget the detail of it. What was that? Trying to try kids in adult court, basically, and put them in adult jail. And so some folk, you know, showed up being aware and woke and handled that. But they kept coming back with it after years. So we have to go. I mean, it's amazing what systems keep trying to do. That if you don't remain vigilant, they're going to get over because their system is designed to just be in charge and dominate. But that's a different day, different subject. Amen? All right. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Father God, that we need to learn to navigate through you and the word and objective truth how to live a victorious life. Thank you, Father God, that because we're a part of your kingdom, we have some tools and advantages. Lord, we have the will to stand, Lord God, and be victorious and to serve others. And Lord, to be successful in those good systems and then to resist and change the bad systems in this world.